Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Music Hall, starring Al Jolson with Oscar Levant and Lou Brings Orchestra and Al Guest.
Pardon me, I'm looking for my father.
And our guest, Victor Moore.
I'm looking for a bluebird and listening for its song. Whenever April showers come along.
Good evening, folks. This is Al Jolson.
Pardon me. I'm looking for my father.
Now, listen, son. I'm Al Jolson.
Daddy!
Victor, go sit down before you fall down. Well, folks, as I was saying, I'm Al Jolson. Let's have it, Lou. Let's have it. I'm just wild about it, Harry. Harry's wild about me. The heavenly blizzard of his kisses fill me with ecstasy. He's sweet just like chocolate candy. And just like honey from the bee, I'm just wild about Harry. Harry's wild about, cannot live without. Harry's wild about me. I'm just wild about Harry. Harry's wild about me. They move his dishes to cook his snitches from Missouri to Missouri. His new sun porch made him happy, made him want the presidency. Oh, I'm just wild about Harry. Harry's wild about, cannot live without the White House. South Party.
Me and my gal.
The bells are ringing for me and my gal. The birds are singing for me and my gal. Everybody's been knowing to a wedding they're going. And for weeks they've been sewing. Every Susie and Sal, they're congregating for me and my gal. The parson's waiting for me and my gal. And someday we're going to build a little home for two, for three or four or more, in Loveland for me and my gal. They're congregated for me and my gal. The parson's waiting for me and my gal. And someday we're going to build a little home for two, for three or four or more, in Loveland for me and my gal. Oscar, what does your wife say to you when she wants to be alone?
She says, go play the piano.
Oscar, go play the piano.
Yes, dear. I mean, yes, Al.
Thank you.
there are moments of life that we never forget, which brighten and brighten as time steals away. You know, a man's finest possession is his memory. In nothing else is he rich. In nothing else is he poor. And the song I'm about to sing tells really a beautiful story.
Memory, dreams of love so true, all the seas of a memory, I'm drifting about.
Just a minute, Ken. I'd like to talk to you, if you don't mind.
All right.
You've been getting quite a lot of publicity lately. There's a big story about you in the current Radio Mirror.
Right?
Yes, sir. And in the last Sunday's paper, you were mentioned as having one of the most pleasing voices in radio.
They said that?
Yes, sir, they did.
Gee, that's fine. I'll have to clip that out and show it to my family.
Why, Ken, don't your family, don't they know? Do they need proof to know that you've got a pleasing voice?
I don't know, Al. Yesterday, I got home a little early.
Yeah?
And as I walked in, I heard my son ask my wife, "What time does old Blabbermouth get home?"
Well, Ken, I don't know. I guess we all suffer the same way. You know, none of us artists is appreciated at home. Last night, I overheard my wife saying, "If Al doesn't stop singing at home, little Asa will never get up off his knees and learn to walk." Now, Ken, before my little son who's listening in comes over and punches me in the nose, I'm going to sing a song. Oh, Lu Bing.
Yeah.
How about if you were the only girl in the world and I was the only boy?
If that was true, I'd die an old maid.
It's the name of my song. Now play it, please. Play it.
If you were the only girl in the world, and I were the only boy, nothing else would matter in the world today. We could go on loving in the same old way. A garden of Eden just made for two, with nothing to mar our joy. I would say such wonderful things to you. There would be such wonderful things to do if you were the only girl in the world, and I were the only boy.
I want to ask you something. Did you like the way I sang that song?
It went in one ear and stayed there.
How's your look? Now, wait a minute now. I wouldn't say that to you. Why, when you play, I'm all ears.
You're all ears when I don't play.
Now, look, I was just trying to be nice, but if you want the truth, when you play, I go out and gargle.
Ah. Yeah, well, I know a guy who loves nothing better than to sit and listen to me for hours.
Who could that be?
My psychiatrist.
Yeah, but you have to pay him to listen to you. Now, I got a fella named Epi who listens to me all day for nothing. That's him standing over there with a broken hearing aid.
Al, there's one way you can be sure that people are listening, and that's for you to sing a song.
Why, thank you, Oscar. And for being so nice, I'd like to have you join me in this next number. It's a song about love, a song about summer, a song about sweetheart.
Are you going to sing a song or an album?
Oscar. The song is Blue Sky, so play it on the fair and warmer side of the piano, if you please. Blue Sky, smiling at me, nothing but blue sky do I see. Bluebird singing a song, nothing but bluebird all day long. Never saw the sun shining so bright, never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by, when you're in love, my heart is fly. Blue days, all of them gone, nothing but blue stars from now on. Oscar, don't you think a song like Blue Sky would make a nice theme song for California?
Well, up to a few days ago, this would have been a better one.
Don't know why.
Oh, gee.
I can't get myself the right key.
Well, good at that.
Why, there's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
Sorry, Oscar, don't sing that song. Don't sing that song to your arms, though, we'll start smudging again, I think. Oscar, this happens to be a romantic song. Politics and love don't mix, you know. Unless you happen to be married to Senator Margaret Smith, which I don't happen to be.
You're no fault of your own.
Well, before we can do a big mishmash, you sit down to the piano or someone else will be here and we'll both be gone. I left my darling the other day we started quarreling. I went away, but now I wish that I was back. I love my baby, indeed I do. And who knows, maybe she loves me too. But that's just maybe, and that won't do. And all that worries me is someone else may be gone while I'm gone. In my dreams I see a couple spooning on the lawn. That very thought that keeps me worried. I lay awake till the break of the dawn. I must hurry back, cause someone else may be there while I'm gone.
Al, I'd like to have a little conversation with you while we both still have weddings.
Well, if it ain't my old friend Victor Moore. Let you tell me, what brings you to the music hall?
My wheelchair.
Victor, now don't tell me you've been ill.
No, just tired.
Well, it's nice to have an old acquaintance in the hall and look back over the years. And it's nicer yet to have an old acquaintance who can look farther back than me.
Now, don't try and pretend that I'm older than you, Yorkshire. Why, when you were out west fighting Indians, I was being pushed around in a baby carriage. That's funny. That's what they're doing to me now.
I'm only kidding, Victor. You look wonderful. In fact, I'd love to know your secret. How you've kept in such good shape all these years.
Oh, I live fast.
Victor, wait a minute. You live fast?
I certainly do. Why, even when I take a 4-way cold tablet, I split it in half so I'll have 8 ways.
Victor, you may be living fast, but I don't like to tell you this. You're sure gaining weight. You really are.
Yes, and I don't know why. I don't eat anything but rice crisp sandwiches.
How do you make the sandwich?
I put a piece of rice crisp between 2 slices of bread.
Well, Victor, I know. What you need is exercise. Would you like to take a course in bodybuilding?
Yes, if I could learn to build one like Betty Grable.
This boy ain't as old as he looks. But anyway, Vic, you really do look good. And you've had a full life, and you've been a very successful man. Now, what more can you ask for?
I don't know about success. When I was in college, they voted me the man most likely to still be here when the college falls apart.
What college was that, Victor?
I don't know. It fell apart.
Well, isn't that wonderful? Both college men up here. Say, by the way, what did you study in college, Vic?
I was in medical school for 5 years.
That's interesting. What did you come out as?
A nurse.
A nurse?
I was much prettier in those days.
Victor, you're pulling my leg. Really, you are.
No, I don't have the strength for that.
No matter how disappointing your ambitions were, you've become a great actor, a big star, really, and I look up to you.
That led to my worst frustration. I always wanted to be a big political figure, and I had my chance in a Broadway musical when I played Vice President Alexander Fallerbottom. If the show had only run a few more weeks, I might have been president.
Victor, why do you want to be president?
Because I've never been president.
We're going to help you realize at least one of your ambitions. I'm going to make you president. Now listen carefully. It's January 20th, 1953. Inauguration Day. President-elect Victor Moore is getting ready for the ceremony.
Just think, today I'm going to be president. I'm awful worried.
Victor, what is there to worry about?
This spring, when baseball season opens, they want me to throw out the first ball.
Well,
I won't be able to throw it. I'll have to carry it out.
Excuse me, Mr. President. Someone to see you. Allow me to present the leader of the Southern Bloc, Senator Asa Jolson.
Well, if it ain't my old friend, our new president of this here fair land, old Vic Moore, my little kidlin. We love you down south, Mr. President. That's why we gave you 7 million votes.
But there aren't 70 million votes in the whole country.
I know. But we got a new system down there. We vote with carbon copies.
Senator Jolson, as I remember, you didn't vote for me in the last election.
Well, Mr. President, I'll have you know, in the last election, every one of us down south was pushing for you. Yes, sir, we were pushing for you.
Yeah, you pushed a little too hard. You nearly pushed me right out of Washington. Senator Jolson, you will have to excuse me. After all, I'm the president-elect, and I'm due at the inauguration ceremony, and if I don't get there early, I won't get a good seat.
Well, Mr. President, listen, I got something...
I can't talk to you any longer, Senator. I got to save my energy. Because after the ceremony, we're going to have a big party and raise cane.
You going to raise cane, have fun and everything? Come on, Mr. President. Tell me, what are you going to do?
We're all going over to John L. Lewis's and start a brush fire in his eyebrows.
No matter how trying the day may be, if you can come home at night to a little baby who puts his arms around your neck and lays his soft cheek against yours, it makes it all worthwhile. 'Cause that's the nearest thing to heaven.
Nearest thing to heaven is that rippling sunny smile. Nearest thing to heaven is to hold him for a while and feel those tiny little hands pulling at my towel. How he laughs when he rumples my hair and pokes his little finger in my eyes. Nearest thing to heaven are those rosy apple cheeks. I've learned to understand him every time he sees. I'm just like his mommy. He's everything divine. Nearest thing to heaven is that little guy of mine.
Nearest thing to heaven are those rosy apple cheeks. You know something? I've learned to understand him. Yes, sir. Every time he speaks.
Oh, I just like his mommy. She's everything divine. Yearning to heaven. Here's that little star.
Good night, everybody. Broadcasting Company, and rebroadcast to our men and women overseas by the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.